Blog Talk Radio.
You have put a new song in my mouth. A song of praise. A sound that resonates, that all of heaven and earth may worship you. We tread the hills to meet with you, to see your majesty in all that surrounds us. For it speaks and displays the eternal God of ages, creator, author, victor. In love, you established an everlasting covenant with your people, and it's your love that captivates us. As children of the King, we rush in as waves unrestrained, overcome, overwhelmed, that the King crowned in glory and splendor would reach down to place a crown upon our heads. So we raise our banner, the banner we boldly stand under, the banner of Jesus Christ. From dusk to dawn, from age to age, your praise resounds in all the earth. Deliverer, Redeemer, ruler of an everlasting kingdom that cannot be shaken. We trust in the name of Christ Jesus, the only King, forever.
This is Mark Lichtenwalter coming to you live on this 24th day of February 2020. This is Fundamentally Mormon, and the guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827.
Today we're going to be continuing on with Chapter 16 of Who Crucified Christ by Ogden Kraut, which you can read for free online at ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com. Click on Read Ogden's Books on the main page and then scroll down to Who Crucified Christ. We will be starting on page 146, I believe. Let me just see real quick here. Oh, I got to get over here to the text. It is 146. I also post the text to each chapter with the radio show information or the live feed at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. That's facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. Chapter 16 is titled Destiny of the Jews. And we will begin our reading at this time. It's not going to be that long of a chapter. And then I'm going to talk a little about my jury duty and what's going on with that, which I've already posted about on Facebook. But it wasn't just like this little tiny criminal trial. It was like a major trial. And yeah, I'm going to talk about that after the reading. So, all right, Destiny of the Jews. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 12. Even though some of the Jews are responsible for one of the greatest atrocities in the history of the world, most of them will eventually be converted to accepting Christ. The worst of them will pay the necessary price. But the others who are still looking for their Messiah will find their proper place in history. Brigham Young stated, quote, "By and by the Jews will be gathered to the land of their fathers and the 10 tribes who wander into the north and will be gathered home. And the blood of Ephraim, the second son of Joseph, who was sold into Egypt, which is to be found in every kingdom and nation under heaven, will be gathered from among the Gentiles." Journal of Discourses, Volume 12, page 38. They will reestablish their temple, their city, Jerusalem, and their nation. Again, quoting Brigham Young, quote, "Let me here say a word to the Jews. We do not want you to believe our doctrine. If any professing to be Jews should do so, it would prove that they are not Jews. A Jew cannot now believe in Jesus Christ. The decree has gone forth from the Almighty that they cannot have the benefit of the atonement until they gather to Jerusalem. For they said, let his blood be upon us and upon our children. Consequently, they cannot believe in him until his second coming. And we're on page 147 for those of you who are following along. We have a great desire for the welfare and our look for their welfare, speaking of the Jews, and this is Brigham Young speaking still, and are looking for a time soon to come when they will gather to Jerusalem, build up the city and the land in Palestine, and prepare for the coming of the Messiah when he comes again. He will not come as he did when the Jews rejected him. Neither will he appear first at Jerusalem when he makes his second appearance on the earth, but he will appear first on the land, on the land where he commenced his work in the beginning and planted the Garden of Eden, and that was done in the land of America. When the Savior visits Jerusalem and the Jews look upon him and see the wounds in his hands and in his side and in his feet, they will then know that they have persecuted and put to death the true Messiah, and then they will acknowledge him, but not until then. They have confounded his first and second coming, expecting his first coming to be as a mighty prince instead of as a servant. They will go back by and by to Jerusalem and own their Lord and Master. We have no feelings against them. I wish they were all gentlemen, men of heart and brain, and knew precisely how the Lord looks upon them. Journal of Discourses, Volume 11, page 279. So I don't agree with Brigham Young, partly because I do know that there are many Jews, who were raised Jews, who have the blood of Judah within their veins, as do I. My great-grandmother was an Ashkenazi Jew in Czechoslovakia, and my family, my Jewish ancestors, came to the United States of America from Czechoslovakia and East Germany. So I know because I'm one of them. I'm a Jew, okay? I have the blood of Judah running in my veins. My friend Rob Kay is also a Jew. He was raised up in Yeshiva, which is a Jewish school, taught Torah and other Jewish things. He came out of Judaism and believes in Jesus Christ and Joseph Smith. But I know many other Jews who have come out of Judaism and follow Yeshua and the teachings of Yeshua, who is Jesus, as their master. So I know that there are Jews out there that believe in Jesus Christ, and I know that there are Jews that believe in the restoration, partly because I'm one of them. All right, I was raised as a Gentile. I wasn't raised in Judaism. In fact, I wasn't aware of my Jewish ancestry until I was in my 20s. For some reason, the family kept it secret. But we have records that come through our Jewish family that go back into the Bible. We are a direct lineage right back into scriptures and through scriptures on two different family lines that go back to Adam and Eve through people in the Bible. So, but like I said, I know many, many others who have seen Jesus Christ who are Jews who came out of Judaism and now they are followers of Yeshua or Jesus Christ. So, this thing that Brigham Young believed and taught, not true. And there's plenty of evidence for it today in our time. So, but, you know, they have their opinions. John Taylor had them. Brigham Young had them. Problem is they taught these things from the pulpit. So they led the church astray in false doctrine in doing so, which is unfortunate. But, you know, if we take everything that they had to say as exactly scripture truth and we didn't have a mind to think for ourselves, we'd be guilty of idol worship, I believe. And by placing them above God, we need to go to God for our own opinions. And it's okay to hear leaders from whatever denomination or church or religion, but you've got to get your own revelation, your own understanding of Scripture, and not just follow in somebody else's footsteps because they said something. God is our file leader. We go to Him in the name of Yeshua or Jesus. We don't need some man to come between us and our Father in heaven and our Messiah and Savior. So, continuing on with the reading, even Jesus is looking forward to the time when He can go back to Jerusalem and make a second appearance to the Jews. In Latter-day Revelation, Jesus said, quote, "And then shall the Jews look upon Me and say, what are these wounds in thine hand and in thy feet? Then shall they know that I am the Lord, Adonai. For I will say unto them, these wounds are the wounds with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. I am He who is lifted up. I am Jesus that was crucified. I am the Son of God. Then shall they weep because of their iniquities, they shall lament because they persecuted their king." Doctrine and Covenants, section 45, verses 51 through 53, page 148. Wilford Woodruff explained more about the gathering of the Jews and also the persecution they would experience before the Savior appears to them. Quote, "And they have to fulfill the words of the Lord still further, as I have been reading to you today. The Jews have got to gather to their own land in unbelief. They will go and rebuild Jerusalem and their temple. They will take their gold and their silver from the nations and will gather to the Holy Land. And when they have done this and rebuilt their city, the Gentiles, in fulfillment of the words of Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and other prophets, will go up against Jerusalem to battle and to take a spoil and to pray. And then, when they have taken one half of Jerusalem captive and distressed the Jews for one last time on the earth, their great deliverer, Shiloh, will come. They do not now believe in Jesus of Nazareth, nor ever will until He comes and sets His foot on the Mount of Olivet and it cleaves in twain, one part going towards the east and the other towards the west. Then when they behold the wounds in His hands and in His feet, they will say, 'Where did you get them?' And He will reply, 'I am Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, your Shiloh.'" First of all, he doesn't know what Shiloh even means, but I'll get to that in a minute. "Him whom ye crucified, then for the first time will the eyes of Judah be opened. They will remain in unbelief until that day. This is one of the events that will transpire in the latter days." Journal of Discourses, volume 15, page 278. Now, I don't believe Jesus is Shiloh. The Christians want to say about it, and I know what the Mormons want to say about it, but I have a very specific understanding of what Shiloh is. Shiloh is somebody who sent in the last days to gather His people, and I wish that I could remember exactly the scriptures that I used. It's been a while since I've talked about the subject, and I probably should have looked it up because I was reading all of this earlier today, but I just didn't think about it. But I believe when it says that the keys of the kingdom shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh comes in Genesis, well, Jesus Christ was a member of the house of Judah. So were Peter, James, and John. But when the keys of the kingdom were passed to Joseph Smith, they were passed out of the house of Judah to the tribe of Ephraim because Joseph Smith, the prophet of the Restoration, was a pure Ephraimite. So when in the scriptures it says the keys of the kingdom shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh comes, I believe that Shiloh is the key holder who received the keys of the kingdom, the first one after Peter, James, and John, who was a non-Jew, but a Ephraimite. and that was Joseph Smith. So when they use Shiloh to say, you know, that Jesus is Shiloh, I think that there's a lot of speculation out there, but by the scriptures, I cannot accept that Jesus is Shiloh because he was a Jew. Now, Jesus does hold all the keys, but the keys of the kingdom shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh comes. Jesus was a Jew. Peter, James, and John was a Jew. Joseph Smith was a pure Ephraimite. He is Shiloh, and he gathered the people to lay the foundation for the redemption of Zion. All right, continuing on with the reading. If the Jews of today take all their gold, silver, and precious things out of the Gentile nations and gather to the Holy Land, it would cause a catastrophe. They would blame the Jews for their financial problems and would go to war against them. Blood would again be spilt in Jerusalem, but this time the Gentiles would be at fault, and Shiloh would come to rescue his people. So the next chapter that we're going to be reading tomorrow is chapter 17, The Fate of the Gentiles. I'm going to read one page of this just to give you an idea of what we're going to be talking about tomorrow. And I'm going to try to do these radio shows at 4 o'clock from now on, at least until further notice. So hopefully I can be on tomorrow at 4 and read this. But I'm going to read the first page just so you know what we're going to get into tomorrow. And then right now I'm opening up the phone lines. Anybody can call in with any questions or comments that you may have. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. So when I finish reading the first page of chapter 17, then I will open up the lines. We're almost done with this book. I already have an idea of the next book that we'll be reading, Responses by Ogden Kraut. There's just a lot of interesting talks and summaries in that particular combination of talks. It's in a book form, but we're going to get into that, I think. I think that's what we're going to get into next. So, Fate of the Gentiles. Therefore, woe be unto the Gentiles, if it so be that they harden their hearts against the Lamb of God. 1 Nephi chapter 14, verse 6. 1 Nephi is the first book in what we have in the Book of Mormon, which is the stick of Ezekiel, the stick of Ephraim is mentioned in Ezekiel chapter 37. It is one of the two witnesses. We have the witness from the tribe of Judah, which is the Old and New Testament, the Tanakh and the Brit Hadashah. And we have the New Covenant, another witness from the tribe of Ephraim. And these are not the only two witnesses, but these are two of the main witnesses for the reality that Yeshua, Jesus, is our Messiah. So I've got a lot of people out there worldwide who watch these videos and listen to this podcast and internet radio show. So some of them may not understand what the Book of Mormon is. And if you don't, I suggest going to LDS.org or I think it's LDS.org. I think they just changed the name, but I still think you can get there at that URL and order a copy of the Book of Mormon for yourself. You can also read it there, but it is another witness of the reality that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, our Savior, Redeemer, and Messiah. Continuing on. Judah, one of the 12 sons of Jacob, or Yehovah, committed a sin when he suggested selling his brother Joseph as a slave. However, the other 10 sons wanted him dead. Because of this, Yehovah, the Lord, showed more mercy towards Judah than he did to the other 10 sons. As the favor was shown to Judah's posterity, so the disfavor was shown to the descendants of the other lost tribes of Israel. We know where the house of Judah is, but where is the rest of the house of Israel? The Jews were taken captive for a while, but they soon gathered back to Jerusalem. The other tribes are taken captive and gradually dispersed among the nations, and they will yet have to gather. The historian Josephus said that they were still scattered in the north countries. The apostle James stated that they were still in a scattered condition. See James chapter 1, verse 1 in your Bible, in the Brit Hadashah in the New Testament. The house of Judah will gather to the old Jerusalem, and the house of Joseph will gather to the new Jerusalem. The other tribes will join in whenever they are wherever they are welcome, but will receive their blessing from the hand of Ephraim. And we're going to end there. So the guest call-in number is 917-889-8827, as I said before. And we don't have any callers, no questions or comments. So I think we're just going to end that for today. I know it wasn't a very long radio show, about 20 minutes. But I try to do a chapter a day when I can, and sometimes I just can't. But some interesting news. Okay, so we haven't been able to find a babysitter for our kids for a long time. So I've had this really hard schedule where when my kids get home around 4 o'clock, I end up going to work, and then I work until like midnight or 1 or 2 in the morning. And then I get home between 2 and 3 in the morning, sometimes between 1 and 2, just depends on what's going on. And then I sleep as long as I can till my little baby decides to wake up. And, you know, if it wasn't for the 5-year-old coming in and wanting to watch Disney cartoons with me all day, which is fine, he'd probably sleep till 8 or 9 or 10. But usually she comes in around 8 and wants to watch cartoons and whatever, and that's fine. And I'm glad for that. So we lay in bed and we watch cartoons all day, and I kind of just lay there and try to rest and try to get enough rest so that I can go to work. And then on the weekends, I've been working too, because I'm trying to make up for the time that I've lost by having to stay home with my children. And don't get me wrong, I absolutely love staying home with my children, but we also need the money, and I have to work. So I've been doing this balancing act, trying to figure out, you know, how to do what I need to do, but also do what I need to do, right? So, and we had a really hard time finding babysitters. Now, we did find one finally. She charges $3 an hour per child, so that's $6 an hour. And a max day, if you pay by the day, it's $25 per kid per day. So $50 a day, $250 a week, $1,000 a month. If we pay for a month at a time, it's only $940. It could be $900. But so we're going to have to pay a lot of money. But I'm glad for that. I'm fine with that. I mean, it is a lot of money, but I can work full time, and pros and cons, right? But I really like this because, like, right now I play with my baby and I play with my daughter, but I'm also exhausted all the time. So with this daycare provider, she won this. I'm going to say it anyway. She won a daycare provider for the state of Utah. I guess there's one person chosen everywhere. Well, she's won that. Her home and her facilities are extremely, I mean, just like they have a side yard and a backyard. And this woman has made a little town out of, like built these little houses and little stores, and like it's all open so she can watch them all, but so that the kids can play, and there's all kinds of activities. And I'm excited for my daughter because my 5-year-old, she just turned 5 in January. She needs to have more than just staying home with dad all the time. You know, and they have a education program for like a preschool type of curriculum, which my daughter is really smart. But, you know, everything helps to get her ready for being in kindergarten next year. So I'm happy about that, even though it's going for the next 13, I think it's 13 weeks, we're going to be paying, I don't know, $900 a month for the next, three months in a week or something, whatever it is. So we're working on that now, and I'm really happy to have found this provider that has room available. And that's another problem with price and or with Carbon in Emery counties. It's hard to find a sitter that or a daycare that actually has room because there's not a lot of daycares down here. There are, but they're all filled up. So right, so this one's a little more expensive than others, but I think that I got a really good feeling from the lady, and I really like the facilities, how she's done everything. So, all right, so now talking about the jury trial. Oh, my gosh. Here I am thinking that I'm going to go in and I'm going to, be summoned to be on this jury for some minor offense. It wasn't minor. It was a major deal, especially down here in Emery County where we don't see a lot of these type of crimes. But this one was going to be a major ordeal. And I was not selected. I would have been happy to have been selected. The only problem that I had with the case, and it wasn't with the case, but if I was selected as a jury, I would have had to have seen graphic images of where somebody saws apart somebody's body and like the guy beat. Well, it's alleged that the guy beat another guy to death with a baseball bat. Cut his finger off to steal his ring, and then I don't know what you call it, where they cut the body apart. I would have been a fair and impartial juror. But I am very sensitive to these kind of things. And as I was talking with the jury, or not the jury, the judge and the attorneys, I had to hold back tears just to know that this had even happened. Not that this guy had been the one that did it, but that this kind of thing happens in our society. This guy, I guess I didn't know about it until I read the newspaper article after I got home, after I had been released from jury duty, and then I went and looked it up. Murder in Emery County, if you want to take a look at what comes up. 61-year-old man beat to death with a bat. I can't even fathom how people can do that to other people. But when the prosecuting attorney asked me if I thought that it would be an undue hardship to see the evidence, to see the graphic images that I would have to see as a juror, and I told him that I think I could handle it, but that it would be very hard. And I didn't say this, but I should have. I was thinking about it later. Yeah, I could have handled seeing it, and I wouldn't have placed blame on that guy unless they prove. And I told them that too on the jury, prosecuting and defending attorneys. I said, if the evidence shows with beyond a reasonable doubt that this person did it, I would vote guilty on a verdict. But if the evidence is not sufficient, then I would vote not guilty. Anyway, but so they released me from jury duty for what I believe is undue hardship, knowing, and I talked to them about this radio show. I talked to them about my involvement in, not involvement, but I was friends with two individuals who created a group called Knights of the Crystal Blade back in 2016, and and I cut off all contact with them in July 20th of 2016. And then I think 6 months later, they what happened was John Colthorpe, his wife divorced him, and she was awarded custody, and he took off with the kids and would not surrender them. So he was charged with child kidnapping. They eventually arrested him, and then the other person that I knew, who was a personal friend of mine, he took the kid. So he was charged with, I think, kidnapping as well. But then other things, there were other charges, and it was just a really sickening case. In fact, I couldn't hardly believe what happened when I heard about it. And so I had to talk about that and how I don't trust the media because they, and I was in, my name is in newspapers and newspapers worldwide. I have a presence internationally in the newspapers because of my association with these two individuals that did these things. I had a website back then called The Kingdom of God or Nothing, where I would post these radio shows and podcasts along with revelations and these books, the texts and all of this stuff. And I allowed one of the individuals, Samuel Warren Schaefer, to also post things, which he did. And the media took what he posted and twisted it way out of whatever, and then tried to associate me with the whole situation. And because of what they did, their lies and their twisting and their slander, I actually received death threats. People in my community it's not good. All right. So I had to talk about that with the jury. So anyway, are the attorneys. So I was released from jury duty, which I couldn't really afford to do it anyway. I would have made it work. I would have been a good juror, I believe. But I don't know if I could have emotionally handled seeing the graphic images that I would have had to see. And you know what? I feel sorry for those 10 jurors that have to witness, have to go through this thing and to see what happened. Even if this guy is innocent, they're still going to see the images. And I've seen those kind of images. I've seen people get shot in front of me and die, killed. I don't want to see anything like that ever again. As a truck driver over the last 25 years, I have been the first on the scene of accidents and see dead and dying people that I couldn't do anything about. The most recent one was in the canyon just this last spring, where a man who was actually a member of the community that I lived in, he was in his 20s, and he came around the corner in the canyon, and a semi-truck was passing another semi-truck in a windy canyon, and they had a head-on collision, and I was not that far back from the accident scene, and I saw Bay's blood, guts, and all over the place, and I don't want to see it. I know what happens. It tears me apart. I think I could have handled it, but I don't think that the attorneys, when they asked me, would this be an undue hardship, I think that even though I thought maybe I could handle it, I'm pretty sure that they realized that I probably couldn't handle it. So I'm glad to be out of the jury duty, even though I think that it is civic duty, unless there's undue hardships. And the thing that was kind of hard about this particular case, and I think it would have been hard to find a jury, and they actually called twice or three times the amount of jurors for the jury panel to select from among because of how big in all the circumstances. I think there were 67 people that were called to be potential jurors. But this guy has tattoos all over his head and his face. And then I found out later, and he was there too. I saw him and everything. But I found out later that he had been in and out of prison for other things too, which makes it hard to be an impartial juror. I told the jury that I have tattoos from when I was a teenager on both arms and on my back. And I don't like being judged for my long hair, for my beard, or my tattoos, because who I was is not who I am. So I wouldn't judge him based upon his appearance, and I told the attorneys I would judge based upon the facts, not appearance. So anyway, that's what's going on in my life. And like I said, next time we'll come back for Chapter 17 of Who Crucified Christ by Ogden Kraut. Like I said, I'm going to try to do these radio show podcasts at 4 p.m. daily, Monday through Friday. And then if I can figure out how to make it work, I think I've got a program for Saturday that we're going to do. And then yesterday, Sunday night, every Sunday, unless something happens, we have the call with Kevin Kraut and friends. And last night's episode was really good. I suggest anybody who is interested in that, check it out. It's on iTunes. Check it out at Fundamentally iTunes, the podcast Fundamentally Mormon, or at blogtalkradio.com/Fundamentally Mormon. We talked about a lot of different interesting topics. Well, some really good stuff. So mostly healing and end time stuff. And it's good stuff. I really enjoyed hearing them talk. I didn't put too much of my input in because I was actually working. So I just listened on mute, and every once in a while I would talk. But mostly Kevin was running it, Kevin Kraut, the son of Ogden Kraut. So it was pretty good stuff. Anyway, all right, well, I guess that's the end of the program. I'm just going to let it go at that. And thank you for watching, everyone, for the Facebook live stream watchers. And I think we'll just let it go at that. So thank you, everyone, and we'll be back on tomorrow, hopefully, with another episode
or podcast or whatever you want to call it, of Who Crucified Christ by Ogden Kraut. Take care, everyone. God bless, and goodbye. ¶¶